Every once in a while, someone will ask me, "Father Charlie, what is the right way to pray?" I love that question because it's almost like, is there a wrong way to pray? Is part of what my answer wants to be. But prayer, of course, is communication with God. But when I answer the question, the way that I offer people to pray is first to focus on what is an area of lack, of need, of weakness, of poverty that you have. And oftentimes people are surprised when I give that answer. And where I get that answer from is the second reading. As a reminder of the second reading, the Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes with inexpressible groanings. And the one who searches hearts knows what is the intention of the Spirit. St. Paul's pretty clear here that it's okay if you don't know what to pray. That's actually a good place to be rather than a bad place to be. And it's a good place because it's good for us to acknowledge our poverty, our place of weakness, our place of lack. Because when we acknowledge that weakness, that place where we are poor, where we lack, then we invite in the Holy Spirit to bless us in that place. And that's where our true strength comes from, is when we invite in that strength into our places of lack and allow God to strengthen us there. So especially in prayer, know it's perfectly okay for you to pray, "Lord, I don't even know what to pray right now. Holy Spirit, you take over." Those can be some of the most amazing and powerful prayer experiences. And this pertains to other areas of our life as well. Over and over again, when we admit our areas of weakness, where we do not know what to do, or we don't seem to have the gifts or talent necessary, when we admit that lack, that weakness, that poverty, and invite God and others into it, that's when amazing things happen. But we don't like to admit where we are weak. I always hate that question on job interviews, right? It's one of the standard ones. What are one of your weaknesses and your strengths? And you try to trump up that particular weakness, right? Kind of come up with that weakness that you have and just think to yourself, what's that weakness that will make me like not look as bad and almost seems like it's a strength, right? But what essentially we're asked when we think of what our weaknesses are is to be vulnerable, to be open in that place. And our society, our culture, often teaches us to be invulnerable rather than to be vulnerable. I think it's one of the reasons why our modern society struggles many times to understand Christianity, because Christianity is a religion of vulnerability. Just look at the cross we have right there. Jesus is pretty vulnerable. And that's what we see so often when we go into a Catholic church, is a God who chose to be vulnerable with us so that we, in turn, would be vulnerable before God. So often, what we again consider to be bad in our society is actually virtuous in the Christian faith. So we're encouraged to be vulnerable, to be open with those places of our lack, of our poverty, because it doesn't put us down or make us less worthwhile. It actually allows our true worth, which is the Holy Spirit, God present among us, to shine out in those situations. The last two Saturdays, I've had the blessing of celebrating weddings for young adults. And I always love celebrating the rite of marriage. All the sacraments are beautiful, but over the years, I've come to appreciate the rite of marriage more and more, especially the moment of the vows. The reason why I love that moment is because essentially that is when the couple is becoming one. And it's because they acknowledge their need of each other. The two become one because essentially they say in their vows, Father Charlie's paraphrasing here, I am not enough without you in my life. You complement me. Your strengths help me in those places of my life where I'm weak. Someone at a previous Mass said, Father Charlie, you should rewrite the wedding vows. That should be what we say. And I'm like, no. But it is essentially what the couple's saying. That's why the two become one in that place. So if you don't have that custom of acknowledging that before your spouse or significant other, I highly encourage it. It will strengthen the relationship and not most certainly not weaken it. I always think of the often cited and very kind of sugary movie scene, okay, from Jerry Maguire, You Complete Me, okay? If you're familiar with that particular reference, it's been resurrected in various memes, so you might have seen it in a meme if you even haven't seen the movie. But there's a truth there. There's a truth that we acknowledge in marriage how there is a complementarity, there is a need, and how that person helps to bring about a completion, a wholeness. But that only happens when there's acknowledgement of vulnerability. And I love when I do marriage prep or talk with couples preparing for marriage, I love to see how naturally, so often God brings people together who complement each other with where one person is weak, the other person is strong. And in families, this principle also is true. I'm the eldest of three. I have a brother and a sister. And each of us have very different gifts and different weaknesses as well. I have certain strengths that my siblings do not have. They have strengths that I do not have. For example, I am horrible when it comes to drawing artwork. Stick figures is the high point of Father Charlie's art, okay? And I've always admired how my sister has a gift of art and how she's able to draw things that just, that's not a gift that I have. My brother is especially gifted when it comes to math and sciences, just the way his mind thinks. He naturally grasps those kinds of things in ways that I do not. However, of my siblings, I've always had a special gift of being able to listen, to give counsel, and helping people through various difficulties, trials, etc. And what's beautiful is when each member of a family uses their gifts, they help to cover for the weaknesses of the other member of the family. And that is then when the family unit is truly strong. Recently, had moments in my family where there's been illnesses with my parents. It's always beautiful for me to see how different family members again add in their strengths and how there's a complementarity, how then the family is strong as each member helps to contribute with their respective strengths and blessings to help where the other is weak. And this happens in good teams as well. We see it in sports. There's no way that any superstar, no matter how talented that sport player is, they can't win by themselves. They need someone else's help. And it's interesting how successful teams are built to complement the strengths of that superstar and to cover for their weaknesses, because even superstars have their weaknesses, and someone must have strengths that will help to make up for those weaknesses. So we see this time and time again. And in ministries, the same thing as well. My parish team, my parish staff, as I like to call my parish team, has strengths that I do not have. And as they move in their strengths, they cover where I am weak in my life. So it's something, again, good for us to realize where we're strong, but also where we're weak, and to invite in the strengths of others, especially the Holy Spirit, but also the ways that the Holy Spirit moves in others as well to help strengthen and cover those places wherever we might not be strong enough. And in today's gospel, when we hear the parable of the wheat and the weeds. One interpretation that I personally like to have, that's an atypical interpretation, is I like to think of strengths and weaknesses when I hear our Lord saying that I don't want to pull up the weeds because I might take the wheat out with it as well. It's interesting how so often our strengths and our weaknesses are tied to each other. If you look at where you're weak, it's almost like if your strength is out of balance, that's where the weakness starts to come in different ways. And so I think when I interpret part of the parable of the wheats and the weeds is that the Lord is trying to help us to realize you all will have those areas of weaknesses, but they're tied to your strengths. And if I were to take that weakness away from you, then I would also be tearing out part of what makes you strong as well. And that at the end times, there'll be that way of a purification of those areas of our weaknesses where all that remains is those special strengths. Again, the kind of Father Charlie interpretation of this particular parable through this lens of strengths and of weaknesses. And if you don't have the custom of going on retreats, I would highly encourage thinking about going on retreats. I love retreats, especially when it comes to going strong in the Lord. Every time I come back from my annual retreat, my relationship with God is strengthened, and it's interesting how on a retreat, it's always a fun moment because God reminds me of any weaknesses that maybe I have forgotten or tried to dismiss. He'll bring them up. But then he also will remind me that in those weaknesses, that's the place where I am not God, and he is God instead. So retreats are a very powerful way of acknowledging those weaknesses, but inviting the strength of the Lord in, and even seeing more profoundly the strengths of other people that are in our lives as well. So something good to think about going on a retreat, especially for those that are either married or those that are not yet married. We'll be having a retreat for married couples and for couples that are not yet married coming up in August called the Together in Holiness Conference Retreat. It's the first Saturday in August, a great opportunity again for couples to see where they're strong, where they're weak, and to invite God's strength especially into their relationship. So something I highly encourage checking out. So today, let us remind ourselves, it's not bad to be weak. It's not bad to have those areas where we have a poverty, where we lack. As long as we acknowledge that area of weakness and lack before God and invite the strength of the Holy Spirit in and realize how God has placed people in our lives that help to cover our weaknesses, whether that be someone that one is married to, engaged to, dating, or someone who is a friend, someone who is a family member. We all have those places where we don't have to be strong and instead can allow God to be strong in us and trust those ways that God has placed people in our lives with the appropriate strengths as well.